good morning, everybody. Well, hey, one of the really exciting things that I get to do along with the pastoral staff at the really several months before the year is we get to begin praying and asking the Lord what he wants for us for the year. We have a preaching calendar, so all of this year is pretty much programmed and set out what we believe that God really wants us to focus on for the year. But here's where it gets really fun. So we get to kind of like decide who gets to speak at what points during the year. And when we decide to have a guest speaker, it's kind of like doing a draft pick. And it's like, who is the best of the best that we could get to really communicate this message? And man, do you have a great and powerful message in store for you this morning. We get the privilege of hearing from Nanette Brown. And not only is she an incredible wife and mom, minister of God's word, but the thing that I look for the most is somebody that really embodies what they preach. And so we get the privilege of hearing from Nanette this morning. Would you welcome her with me this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first off, I need to thank Gateway Foursquare Church. This is the church that I got saved at. This is where I fell in love with Jesus, probably 30 years ago. So I am so thankful. This is where I grew in my relationship with the Lord, and this is actually where the Lord, I chose where I was going to go to college, ended up going to Life Pacific. And so thankful for Pastor Lori, Pastor Brian, Pastor Justin. Also, I have to thank my parents, Joe and Christine Aka. Let me tell you, they are the best parents. They love me. They believe in me. They created an atmosphere in our home in which I could know Jesus. I could know him for myself. They modeled just what a real Christian was for my brother and I, and I feel so blessed that I have such a godly heritage. And also, last but not least, I have to thank my husband, Rod Brown. We've been married for 18 years, and I am so blessed. I was telling the last service, when I was about 15 years old, I was praying for a boyfriend, and I remember the Lord said, no, you're not allowed to date. I was like, what? That's not fair. And he put in my heart, I have somebody for you. And so my parents were very faithful in praying for my spouse, my man of God. Warren knows about that. Susan knows about that. And the Lord has blessed me tremendously. That's what happens when you wait on the Lord. Don't do your own thing. Trust him. But anyways, that's a side note. And I want to show you a picture of my family. I have 6 children. 4 of which I birthed. I have a 25-year-old in whom I inherited. I have a 16, 14, 12, and 10-year-old. We also have a 1-year-old that we're hoping by the end of summer we'll be able to adopt. We're doing foster to adopt. So we've had Emma since she was 2 days old. So right out of the hospital, she joined our family, and so we think we'll be able to adopt her. So that is my family. And before we begin, let's go ahead and pray. Would you go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes? Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for the privilege and the honor to be able to declare your word to your people. Father God, I pray for each and every person in this room today. I ask that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. Give us eyes to see what you are doing. Lord God, I ask that you would take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. I pray, Father God, that I would get out of the way so that your people can hear what you have to say to them. I pray this all in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. All right, so I hear you guys have been in a series called Dangerous Prayer. Is that right?
Yeah.
So We're going to talk today about how, my part of it is use me. So we're going to talk about how God can use us to pray dangerously. And what I mean by praying dangerously is I'm talking about breaking chains, defeating spiritual enemies, eyes and ears being opened, generational curses being shattered, salvations happening, people getting in line with God. So the first step in being used by God to pray dangerously is to be connected. Our appliances, our refrigerators, our dishwashers, our lamps, they all need to be connected in order to work. Just like they need to be connected in order to work, they need to be plugged in, we need to be plugged in to the source of our prayer, who is Jesus, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the one in which the power comes from. So if we don't connect, we will make no effect. We must be plugged in to the source, Jesus Christ. And it's not necessarily church or spirituality, but Jesus Christ. If you would turn with me to John 15, verses 4 and 5. I wanted to make this a little higher. Oh, okay, that's all you do. It's pretty simple. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And I want you guys to listen to this carefully. This is what it says. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." A branch is a lifeless organism unless it is connected to the source of its life, which is the vine. We need to remain in God. We need to stick with him, stay with him, stay attached to him. And if we do this, God promises to stick with us. He's not going anywhere. We can't do anything of any eternal significance without him. So we must remain in him. We go from fruitful to sterile when we detach ourselves from the vine. And you know what the cool thing is? God doesn't detach himself from us. It's we that leave him. So if we remain in him, he will remain in us. John 15 continues in verse 6 and 7. It says, "Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a lifeless branch and withers. And such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. But if you remain in me," this is Jesus talking, "if you remain in me and my words remain in you," listen, "my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted." Being connected is staying attached to God and filling ourselves with his word. Not just hearing his word, not just coming to church, but hearing and applying the word that God gives to us. Like today, I believe God is going to speak to every single person in this room. But will we obey? Are we just hearers? Or are we doers? James 1:22 says, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Listen, we are not just hearers of the word. We are doers. As God's people, that's what he's called us to do. So when God speaks to you today regarding your situation, commit to yourself that I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And when we do that, that's when we see our prayers answered. The second step in being used by God to pray dangerously is to be yielded. And again, praying dangerously, I'm talking about chains being broken, defeating spiritual enemies, eyes and ears being able to hear what God is saying, people being set free, generational curses, alcoholism, divorce, drugs, unfaithfulness, those things being broken. God wants us to get in line with him. Those are the dangerous prayers I'm talking about. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to tell you guys a story. So when I was in college, I went, my school was in San Dimas. I went to Life Pacific. My dad used to pick me up every week from school. And then second semester, he said, I'm not picking you up every week anymore. First of all, it's too far. Second of all, you need to like socialize and make some more friends or something. I can't keep driving from Agora to San Dimas. You just got to figure things out. And I was so devastated. I was disgusted. I was like, Dad, how are you going to do this to me? And he's like, sorry, you just got to figure it out. So I was like mad. I was like, I'm not calling him anymore. I'm just going to talk to my mom, my dad. So I was like, all right, so upset. We were, at the time, we were praying for a car for me. I didn't have a car. That's why my dad had to come pick me up. And then I remember in us praying, I think my Uncle Tony, who was here today, found a car, something that was cheap, good, reliable, affordable. And so we were like, oh, I was thinking, oh, yeah, thank you, Jesus. We're going to get this car. And then it ended up getting sold from right under us. And I was mad. I was so mad at God because I was like, man, I've been waiting for this car, Lord. What's going on? Didn't work out. Anyways, I had some friends at school because my dad didn't pick me up. Say, hey, we're going to the Price is Right. You want to come with us? And I was like, nah, because if I don't win, I'm going to be jealous, and I don't want to put myself through that, you know. And so I was like, I declined. And then the morning of them going to Price is Right, my roommate's like, it's not too late. You can still go, Nanette. And then I kind of checked my heart. I was like, Father, am I going to be okay? And then I felt like, no, I think I can be okay. If somebody wins, I think I'll be able to celebrate with them. I actually knew I was going to be able to celebrate with them. So anyways, I ended up going with my school, with a bunch of us. We went to the Price is Right. And guess who got called on stage? That's right. So I get called on stage. And then next thing you know, I actually win the bid and I get on stage. I ended up losing the game. I didn't even understand the game. But I lost. Needless to say, it wasn't over. Guess what? You get to spin the wheel. And guess who won spinning the wheel?
You.
You got it. So spun the wheel, won, was in the showcase showdown. And then I think I was the first bidder. I think I was the first person. And guess what the showcase showdown had?
A car.
And when I saw that car, I knew that was like, I literally felt like the Lord was like, that's what I had for you. And I was like, so anyways, I bid on it. I remember just listening to the audience because I had no clue what new cars even costed. And so I just listened to what I heard. I said my bid, and I ended up winning the
car.
And so in that, well, let's praise the Lord for that. That was, yeah. So I ended up winning that car, and I remember the lesson that the Lord had taught me through that. Number one, I was so upset that I did not get that old used car. I was so disappointed and so hurt because I had been praying and praying and praying, and I thought this was it, and then it fell through. But God showed me what you wanted that, but what I had for you was this. And so many times God does that. The thing that we are crying for, that we are praying for, that we think we really, really want, that God doesn't give to us, it's not because he doesn't love us or he doesn't care, he doesn't have our back. It's because he has greater and better. I wanted an old used car, and he had a brand spanking new Geo Storm for me, you know? And I just thank God for that, because one of the things that he taught me was you need to yield. You need to yield your expectations, your anger. He has a better plan. And so there is a scripture in Matthew 6, 9, and 10. And this is where Jesus' disciples were asking him, like, how do we pray? And this was Jesus' response. He said, so this is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yielding means to surrender or to relinquish control or to give oneself up to a higher authority. And in Matthew 6:10, what God has called us to do is to yield, to bring our will into harmony with God's will. And when we yield or surrender ourselves and our desires to God, that's in essence actually putting God and his kingdom first. God wants us to ask him for his kingdom to come. And the word kingdom here means his reign or his rule, God's rule. So we're saying, God, your rule come. Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And that is sometimes we need to yield and surrender what we desire so that we can receive what God desires for us. James chapter 4, I love this verse. So James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Just like in my story, if I would have stayed angry, if I would not have yielded my jealousy and I didn't surrender to God, I would have missed out on the blessing that God and the provision that God had for me. He wants to answer our prayers his way, not always our way. God wants us to surrender our disappointment, our anger, our unmet expectations. Because he may be answering our prayers differently. Submitting brings about God's favor. And we come under God's covering like an umbrella when we submit. We have authority to resist, to refuse, and to oppose the devil. And listen to this. God's promise to us is that the devil will flee from us when we submit to him. So stand bravely against the enemy and do not comply with his demands or temptations or even compromise. Don't do it. The third step in being used by God to pray dangerously, and this is my favorite part, is to pray bold prayers in Jesus' name. God wants us to pray for the impossible. He actually wants us to pray about everything. Don't get me wrong, pray about everything. But he also wants us to not limit him. Sometimes we don't pray things because we're like, well, God's not going to heal this. God's not going to take away this cancer. No one really ever gets healed. No, God wants us to pray big and bold. So you know why? So that when it happens, he gets all of the glory. Amen. When we are connected and we are surrendered to God, we are now in a position to pray in power, to pray in authority in the name of Jesus. Another scripture I love. This is in Mark 16, verses 16 through 18. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples at the end and kind of commissioning them and sending them. Like, this is what you guys are called to do. Listen to what he says. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Listen, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hand, and when they drink deadly poisons, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. You know what, people of God? Let's not be afraid to pray for people. Let's walk supernaturally. God has given us his authority to act in his behalf, to pray what Jesus would pray. This is another really great verse in Luke 10, verses 17 and 18. And this is where Jesus, he sends out 72 of his disciples, 72 of his followers. And he says, you guys go out there, go pray for people, go speak my word, declare the kingdom of God has come. And this is them coming back to Jesus, reporting what happened. So in verse 17, it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name. Yes, Jesus told them, look, I have given you authority over all power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Listen, the enemy knows and understands the power of Jesus' name. Do you? Do you? There is power, and there is healing, and there is salvation, all in the name of Jesus. And you know, when we call on the name of Jesus, you know what we're doing? We're inviting him into the situation. We're inviting his presence, his power, and his person into the situation we're facing. There is supernatural power, healing, and authority in his name. It is not a wish when we say in the name of Jesus, nor is it a magic formula. It is access to God, and it is our legal right. And I taught this to my children. We had a day when I was braiding one of my daughter's hair, and I noticed the baby was kind of sleeping long, so I said, hey, go upstairs and check on Emma. I haven't heard from her. So my daughter goes and checks on her. She starts screaming, Mom, 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 Emma's purple and she's foaming from her mouth and her eyes. I don't know what's wrong with her eyes. So I run upstairs. I get this baby. I look at this baby. That's Emma, by the way. I look at the baby and I'm like, what in the world? So I didn't even have shoes on. Ran to the car. My 16-year-old followed behind. I gave her the baby and we just drove to the hospital. And Sasha, my 16-year-old, was just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It was like, and the child was like purple. I've never seen that. Anyways, we call my parents. Can you pray for Emma? We don't know what's wrong with her. And I wouldn't have said it then, but I'll tell you guys now what I was thinking. This girl looked like she was dying. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And then, so I'm driving. Mommy McQueen just going as fast as I can. And then it occurred to me, Jesus, Jesus. And I started yelling, in the name of Jesus, you can't have her. Satan, I command you to take your hands off this baby. You can't have her. She will not die today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your life. And I just started speaking whatever's coming to my mind, but I was calling on the name of Jesus. And then you know what I heard in the back seat? I heard that baby whimper. And when I heard that whimper, I knew she was going to be okay. I was like, she's going to be okay. I felt that peace come into me because I was really terrified, but I was trying to be strong or whatever. But then I knew, okay, she's going to be okay because she wasn't crying. She was just like stiff as a board, purple, and looking not very good. I wanted you guys to show the next picture. So that was the day when we got there. Her color came back. It ended up she had a seizure. None of my other children have ever had seizures before, so I was not familiar with what was occurring with her. It was awesome. She ended up being fine. They filled her with liquids and tested her, and she was good. So this is Emma today, actually 2 weeks ago, and she's doing great. Amen. So the power of the name of Jesus must be called upon in faith. Now, if you call on the name of Jesus in unbelief or in vain, it's not going to work for you. We have to have faith in God and bring him into everything. Are we dependent on God or are we dependent upon ourselves? Lord, use us to pray dangerous prayers, prayers that will break chains and defeat spiritual enemies, shatter generational curses, open blind eyes and deaf ears. Use us, Lord, to bring salvation and to help others get in line with you. So as I was praying about this service, this Sunday, the Lord put on my heart that he wants to meet many of us where we are. There are several here today that you are in a situation where you may be dealing with disappointment, anger, unforgiveness. There's some of you here that are in need of divine intervention. If God doesn't do it, it's just not going to happen. But guess what? God has heard your cry. He has not ignored your prayers. And he wants to meet you today. Will you meet him today? Will you say yes to him today? Will you decide, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I've been disappointed in the past, but you know what? You answer things sometimes differently than the way we expect. So I'm going to release my disappointment and I'm going to make a decision to trust you today. And I'm going to ask you for your help.